Maybe also we at times might begin to lose sight of the significance of what took place at Christmas. Maybe we might begin to wonder, as they said, the Passover's over, let's go. Christmas is over, get over it. And maybe the significance of what we celebrate at Christmas becomes part of the routine. You have the family, you have the food, you have the friends, and you have all the fun. And yes, you have the service where you gather in our Father's house. But the significance that we can call him our Father, and that we can gather in his house and hear his words, begins to fade, and it becomes part of the custom, the routine. Christmas is over. Get over it, some begin to think.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Rock Solid Hope for Rim Country. December 29th, 2024. Luke 2:41-52.
You know, it's possible for people to forget even some of the most significant things in their lives, or perhaps lose sight of the significance of some of the most important days in their lives. I found how true that was after this young couple spent 3 years waiting for their marriage, got all excited about planning, and finally they got married. The day came and they celebrated, and then married life went on. And about 4 years later, one of their friends at church said to one of them, "Hey, it's your anniversary tomorrow." And caught off guard, they didn't realize the day was coming. Maybe you notice how that can happen. After husband and wife had been married for a number of years, they might find themselves eventually saying one day, "Wait, was yesterday our anniversary?" Simply not because they don't love each other, but the significance of celebrating that day maybe just blends into the routine day after day. Well, that routine, ordinary thing can sometimes absorb the significance of something like the birth of the Christ child. We go through the routines, we come and we worship, and we celebrate that Christ has come, and yet sometimes the significance, the impact can be lost on us not too long later. At least that's what we see eventually even happened to people who ought to have known better, to the family of Mary and Joseph even. That's what Luke shows us, and we consider the significance of celebrating this birth of the Christ, not just at Christmas time, but every day, as we look at what Luke records in Luke chapter 2. See, Jesus' parents, as far as they knew, had a pretty ordinary child. 12 years had passed since that time when the angels sang for glory to the shepherds. 12 years had passed since Christ had come and they received that marvelous gift. Over 12 years had passed since Joseph first had that vision of the angel and Mary had Gabriel appear to her. 10 years had passed since the Magi came and they marveled at the Christ child and worshipped him. And in all that time, what happened? Did Christ stand out as someone who was beyond ordinary? Well, apart from his extraordinarily godly life, he was considered rather ordinary. Did Jesus perform miracles left and right those past 12 years? Did he crawl on water? Or did he turn water into milk? Scripture doesn't say that. In fact, John records the first sign really was when he was about 30 years old. Jesus was actually considered to be ordinarily the child of Joseph and Mary. And he lived what appeared to be such an ordinary life that later on those who knew him would be offended by calling him anything more than ordinary. And the worship life was also pretty ordinary. Every Sabbath they would gather for worship in the synagogue and they would go for the annual festivals. So Luke records how Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. This was their custom. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. It's just part of the routine now. But this routine would come across a detour. Mary and Joseph would end up traveling back with their friends and relatives after the festival had ended. And only after a day of travel, they began to notice that Jesus wasn't with them. Jesus wasn't found among their relatives. We find that Jesus had brothers and sisters. Perhaps they would have been stepbrothers and stepsisters, or maybe relatives. But there were more in the family. And you might say to yourself, well, what kind of a parent is that that leaves their child behind? But this was a different time. And he was considered at 12 years old to have a degree of independence. And the relatives often helped care for the core family. Even though today people get shocked when a 10-year-old is walking down a neighborhood sidewalk and arrests the parents, that wasn't the case back then. This was not negligent of the parents. They simply didn't notice. And when they did notice, they traced their steps back to find Jesus. And they come to the temple courts. And finally, on day 3, after all their anxiety and wondering where he is, there he is in the temple courts. And in the courtyards of the temple, he's not out of place. He's not being snarky or anything else. He's simply sitting there learning, listening, and asking questions about the Word of God. Now, what should be surprising to us here is not that this happened, Jesus says. He says, why were you searching for me? What should be surprising is the response of Mary and Joseph. It says, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and answers, and even his parents. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Didn't Mary and Joseph remember what the Magi had done when they bowed down to worship him just about 10 or 12 years earlier? Didn't they remember the angels singing for glory and the shepherds bringing that news? Didn't they remember the announcement that the angel Gabriel gave and the word of God given to them? How could they have forgotten the significance of who this one was? Should they have been surprised to find him here? Jesus responds, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Now, the translation here in the NIV says Father's house, but perhaps a more literal translation, as you see in other Bibles, might be better here. It says, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's things? Or we might paraphrase that, the affairs or business of my Father. You know, it's surprising that they didn't recognize, or at least remember and hold on to, the significance of who Jesus was. Do you catch what he said there? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? This wasn't Joseph's house. And yes, Mary could say, your father and I, but that was only according to what people accepted. His father from eternity was the one he spoke of here. This man, this boy, this 12-year-old, was more than just an ordinary boy. He called on God and said, my father. Notice he didn't say our father, because he had a special relationship with the Father. His person was supreme. He is the Son of God. Did Mary and Joseph forget? Why were they so surprised? And not only did they lose sight of his person, but maybe they lost sight of his purpose. Why were they gathered for the festival of the Passover? To celebrate the coming one, the sacrifice, the lamb. And there he was among them. And they were surprised to find him remaining in the house of God, busy with the things of his Father and the Word of God. If even Mary and Joseph could begin to lose sight of the person and the purpose of the Christ, to be astonished that he would find he needs to be in the house of God, maybe also we at times might begin to lose sight of the significance of what took place at Christmas. Maybe we might begin to wonder, as they said, the Passover is over, let's go. Christmas is over, get over it. And maybe the significance of what we celebrate at Christmas becomes part of the routine. You have the family, you have the food, you have the friends, and you have all the fun. And yes, you have the service where you gather in our Father's house. But the significance that we can call him our Father, and that we can gather in his house and hear his words, begins to fade. And it becomes part of the custom, the routine. Christmas is over. Get over it, some begin to think. And do we find ourselves always desiring to be concerned with the business of our Father, our Heavenly Father? The church is in the business of forgiveness. Our Father is in the business of giving us his word and building us up with his sacraments. Does that begin to fade with the routine shortly after we celebrate the festivals? Well, God reminds us As Jesus says here, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's business? What about us? I have to admit, sadly, that sometimes I get so busy, I show up in God's house as if it's only something I do as part of my work, rather than the joy of recognizing why we gather, the person of Christ, the purpose of why he came. And family devotions, I sadly must admit, sometimes fall to the wayside in my household, and my wife has to remind me because I got too busy that day. Should you or I ever claim to be so wrapped up in the routine or so busy that the purpose and significance of the Christ fades into the background of routine? Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be here? He did. Mary would later on lose her son again, as her son fulfilled what he had said he needed to do to fulfill his father's will. Didn't you know, Mary, that he had to continue in the things of his father and carry out the purpose for which the father sent him? Didn't Mary know when he had to be arrested and killed that he had come to suffer? The writer to the Hebrews tells us that he came for this very purpose. He says, since the children have flesh and blood, he shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. Jesus came to this world to be the perfect substitute and sacrifice. Didn't you know that he had to go to the cross? His disciples would be amazed as he remembered his purpose throughout his life. Jesus was not merely a man who became aware that he was serving God. No, he knew from the very beginning the plan was for him to sacrifice himself. He knew the atonement must be made for sinners. And so he came, he lived perfectly, and he lived for us. And can you imagine how he remembered that purpose? Even as they drove the nails in his hand, he still remembered why he came as he said, Father, forgive them. And can you imagine the angels standing there in the tomb telling the woman when on Easter day they come looking for him, why are you searching for him? Didn't he tell you? Don't you remember what he said? His very purpose to fulfill the Father's plan, to pay for the price of sin, to set us free from death, the power of the devil, and from hell. This is something significant. This is something worth remembering and celebrating. This cannot be part of routine, but it's something that we can hold on to and treasure. If he remembered this, if he kept this, we know that we can be those who astonish this world by our dedication to his word. When others see you, they shouldn't be able to say simply, oh, it's already been Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. You've been to worship last Sunday. Don't get too carried away with this. But rather, astonish. Don't you know that we need to be in those who are interested in what his word tells us and what he has brought us to do? That his son set us free. And we can astonish this world as we wrap ourselves in the things of our Father, gather in his house regularly, and hold to his holy word. And the business of our Father is forgiveness of sins. Nothing is greater than this. The Son of God came to give us that great gift of forgiveness. And the gift of God is the perfect substitute and sacrifice. And now we, as the people of God, can call ourselves in grace children of God. And in grace we can say, he is my Father, and I will gather in his house, and I will listen to his word. I'll be fed by the gift that he offers. I will together gather with the people of God, and there we will receive the gift of God. Amen.